Look, you know we're getting towards Christmas when Richard Glover has his forum about the books to give over the summer. He does it every year. It always really helps me with my Christmas shopping. And alas, he's not here today, but we're still going ahead. And to help us in our book buying, for those people in your family that are often tricky to buy for, we have three great readers. John Page from Dimmicks. Hello, John.
Hi, Sarah.
Lindy Jones from Abby's Bookshop. Hi, Lindy.
Hi, Sarah.
And David Gaunt from Glee Books. Welcome.
Good day. Thanks, Sarah.
Good to have you all here. Now, what Richard does is, you know, he thinks about the tricky people to buy for. And don't worry if you don't have pen and paper this afternoon. We're going to go through some books. We'll put it all online in about an hour's time on abc.net.au/Sydney. But let's start off with a classic book to buy a young person just off to university or a first job. I did not choose this segment. Richard did, but I have one of those people in my house who's an avid reader. David Gaunt, what do you suggest?
Well, this year I'm suggesting Clive James' Unreliable Memoirs, which was published 40 years ago.
Yeah.
When I think he was about a 40-year-old expat living in London. But it is the most, I don't know, rich and enjoyable. It's very Clive, as in he has a good crack at himself and a crack at various other people. But he tells a beautiful story of his upbringing in Sydney, in southern Sydney.
Yeah.
And I grew up not far from where he did and went to the same school that he did, so it resonates beautifully for me. But I can also tell that it's just one of those things that anybody looking at where you are in life, of course, most of it takes place in high school, university, before he chips off to London.
Yeah, but it's also instructive, I suppose, isn't it, about generations that came before you and the lives they had that were so different.
That's the interesting thing. You can tell what was then and what's now, but what's common to both.
Yeah. Lindy, I love your suggestion.
I went for Charmian Cliff's Mermaid Singing and Peel Me a Lotus, which are now bound up in one volume. Charmian Cliff and George Johnson is probably the most tragic and romantic story in Australian literature. Charmian wrote these books while she was living the beginning of their sojourn in the Greek islands. So Mermaid Singing set on the island of Kalymnos and Peel Me a Lotus is another year or so on when they're living on Aethra. I really think that it's all about embarking on an adventure. It's throwing caution to the wind. And I came across a beautiful quote that I used to have written up on my wall when I was 19, and it said, it was something that Charmian said in Peel Me a Lotus, which is, "To accomplish anything, it is obvious that a talent is not enough. You need a motive, an aim, an incentive, an overwhelming interest, be it ambition or fear or curiosity or only the necessity to fill your belly. You need a star to steer by, a cause, a creed, an idea, a passionate attachment. Something must beckon you or nothing is done, something about which you ask no questions." And I just think that is the best thing to tell a child. Well, yes. A young person about to launch themselves
That's
into life.
That's so true. And she's such an exquisite writer, isn't she? Oh, so
she
beautiful.
Is.
It will make them want to go and live on a Greek island, though. Warning, if you do give this to your child.
Well,
if they're a teenage.
They
can't right now. And it has changed. But yeah. She's a wonderful writer. I think I read them at about that age. John Page, what do you suggest for the young person just off to university or a new job or embarking upon the world?
I've gone with a book that I wish I had read when I was 18, which is Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman, which was first published in 1996. I only just read this book this year when a good friend of mine actually recommended to it, and I just thought it was a really insightful book, look at emotions and the role they play in our decision-making, both good and bad, but also just how being aware of our own emotions and the emotions around us can make a big difference to ourselves, to other people, and how that can better our studies, our workplaces, and just our life in general. So just that kind of using your own EQ to be a better person, but also kind of manage the people around you and manage how you treat the people around you. And I think that's a great book to kind
useful
of get you started.
Useful to know, right? Yes, and something we never got told when we were learning school
definitely,
about
that
emotional
kind of like
intelligence.
Some of the mistakes I've made and some of the way I've acted, I was like, I'd read this a lot earlier.
Don't make John Page's mistakes. Read Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. All right, terrific. That's the classic for a young person. We're doing our booksellers forum this afternoon on ABC Radio Sydney that Richard does every year. If you are thinking of getting someone a book for Christmas, what about if you have an aunt, as Richard calls her, a brainiac 40-something aunt who's very literary and seems to have read absolutely everything. These people are tricky. David Gaunt, what do you suggest?
Well, I've probably got a tricky answer, Sarah, in that I'm recommending Jack by Marilyn Robinson. She's not as well-known a writer as she deserves to be. Every book she's written has won awards, including the Pulitzer Prize. And Jack is the fourth book in a series, those standalone books, that she's written in the last 20 years, set in Iowa and around Iowa. She herself has worked professionally as a teacher of writing at Iowa Writing Centre. And this has been described by somebody as a Calvinist romance, to give you an idea of tricky.
Calvinist romance? How yeah. does that work?
Well, the books centre around a family, a pastor, and his brother, who live in a small town in Iowa called Gilead. That's the first of the quartet.
Series, yeah.
The others are Home and Leela, but they're not sequential in narrative, and so you can read them at any old time. But I find them deeply fascinating books because they are about grace and redemption and saving oneself. The main character in this book, the eponymous Jack of the title, is somebody who can't save himself, let alone potentially be saved by other people, because everything he's ever done in his life has gone wrong. And in this book, a chance comes, a meeting in of all places, a graveyard, with a young black woman. They fall in love. Seems highly improbable, but she's such a good writer that it works.
It works.
And the implications of that, it's set in the early 50s in middle America. So it resonates now about Black Lives Matter. It resonates enormously about how you might live your life if, in fact, you're predestined for failure.
Right. You know, I've heard these are incredible. Someone said to me, you've got to read these books, but why don't you have to read them in order? They're not connected. They're just all from the town.
They're all from the town, and because in this case, you already know from reading Leela, the book that follows this in time, what's going to happen. How good's a writer got to be to make you keep reading when you know from the action in the following book what actually happened to the characters in this one?
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, terrific. Lindy, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting Sophie Laguna's Infinite Splendours. Sophie won the Miles Franklin 6 years ago with Eye of the Sheep. I think this one is much better. Well, I don't even say much better. I think it's the most perfect book she's written, and I am a fan of hers. And this one, again, is about redemption and damage, and it's the main character, Lawrence, is growing up on a farm, a property outside a small town in the Grampians. His mother is distant. His father died in World War II. He has a young brother who adores him, and their uncle comes to stay, long-lost brother of his mother. And that shakes up his world. Lawrence has always wanted a father figure, and he has it in the uncle. The younger brother's not so sure because he's always looked up to Laurie, and so he doesn't need another man. There is a rather earth-shattering betrayal which stunts Lawrence almost physically, in that he develops a hideous stammer. He can no longer relate to people. He can't relate to his beloved brother. And it follows him as he grows. Now, he's a supremely talented artist, and that is the way that he communicates with the world and how he talks to himself.
This is definitely for the literary aunt who's read everything.
This is
Splendours. All right, yeah. Terrific. John Page, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell.
Oh, you love this book.
Great. I do love this book. I love Maggie O'Farrell, and this is like her best book. It's completely different to everything she's written before. She's never done historical fiction before, and this is what historical fiction is all about. So this is the story behind the inspiration of William Shakespeare's Hamlet, but in the hands of Maggie O'Farrell, it's something completely different. Shakespeare's not even mentioned in the book. He's kind of given these other names. He's the Latin teacher, the husband. He's mainly off stage the whole novel. The focus of the novel is actually Agnes, his wife, who's been much maligned by history. There's very few books written about her, and she really examines her life and how her impact on this and what happens behind, I don't want to give too much away, but the inspiration behind Hamlet and how she deals with that. So it's a portrait of marriage that's been largely ignored. It's also a really poignant portrayal of grief, and it's inspired one of the world's most famous plays. You won't see or read the play again the same way after you read maybe
Then you go and read Hamlet afterwards.
Yes, definitely.
Reread it. Okay. John Page is with us from Dimmicks, Lindy Jones from Abbeys, and David Gaunt from Glee Books doing your shopping for you as you approach Christmas. That was for the fine and just published literary work for your Brainiac 40-something aunt. Just quickly putting someone on the spot here, and you can put up your hand who wants to announce their choice here. Mary says, what about for a mid-primary child with dyslexia? Help.
Anything from the Barrington Stoke range. They're an English educational publisher. The books are printed on a pale yellow page with a dyslexic-friendly font. A lot of very good English authors write simple stories. Just go into your nearest bookstore and ask the Barrington they may have to order them in, but Barrington Stoke.
Okay, we will put all these up on our webpage on abc.net.au/Sydney. If you don't have a pen, don't sort of, you know, do something bad in your car while you're writing on your hand. This will all go up later. All right, let's talk about a real page-turner for your brother-in-law to take on a beach holiday. David, what are you suggesting?
Jane Harper.
This is her new one.
This is her new one. I just saw news today that she's sold 1 million copies
already.
Of her books,
of all her books.
Well, that in itself, and given the size, given the size of the market, it's astonishing because we're talking about a book that's only been out a few weeks on top of three earlier ones.
Yeah.
And the reason she's so good is because she can do landscape and mood and setting in a way that is just highly original. And
where's this one set?
This one's set in a you don't know on which bit of the Tasmanian coast, but it's set in a beach, in one of those beaches where maybe there's some people there a few weeks of the year whale watching or something, and the rest of the time a lot of locals looking at each other and going every night to the Surf and Turf, the only cafe / bar in town where people can meet. There's been a dreadful tragedy happened 10, 15 years before when a teenage girl drowned and her body was never found. And almost at the beginning of this one, another young woman has drowned.
Oh.
It ought to be a coincidence.
It's a crime.
But it isn't.
Mystery.
And the fact that she can do plotting and kind of connect the dots so well that you can't connect them yourself. Lots of good red herrings. There's also more in this book. I think there's stuff about grief and trauma and how to deal with this dementia and how you deal with lots of difficult issues. So she's kind of deepened and broadened her.
Yeah, well, she did that with domestic violence in the last
she
one
did.
Too. That was was a real part of that.
All
good. Right, there's always a Jane Harper on the beach where I always see one as I'm walking along the beach. Lindy Jones, what do you reckon for the brother-in-law to take on a beach holiday, a page-turner?
Oh, I think it has to be Chris Hammer's Trust, who, a bit like Jane Harper, can do landscape beautifully, puts all these diverse things in and you think, goodness, now where's that going to go? Just trust him, it will go somewhere and all connect. This is the third in the Martin Scarsden novels, but you really don't have to have read the other ones because Chris is really good at giving you backstory without bogging down the narrative. In this one, Martin, who's a journalist, his partner Mandy, he picks up a voice message and it's a scream. And he dashes back home and finds that she's gone and there's an unconscious man there. So what's happened to Mandy? And what's happened to Mandy is that her past, that there's bits that she hasn't told her partner about, they've come back to haunt her.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Now, you've got to add in a few other things. You've got to add in corrupt societies, mafia hitmen.
Oh, gosh, it's got it all.
Corrupt judges.
One of everything. Keeps you from getting off the hammock or off the beach towel to keep reading that. That sounds very good. Trust by Chris Hammer. Look, John Page, we've already had a text in saying, I'm a 40-year-old aunt, lol, and I want to read all of the three books you've suggested, but I have Maggie O'Farrell book at home already
Excellent.
To read. Okay. What are you suggesting for the brother-in-law, the page-turner?
For the page-turner, I've gone with Broken by Don Winslow. Don Winslow's one of my favourite crime authors, and the beauty with this book is it's actually a collection of six novellas. So they're not six short stories. They're a little bit more chunkier and in-depth. but you don't have to read one whole novel while you're at the beach. So if you've got like a week away up the coast, you can read one of these stories each day you're spending at the beach. And they're each different. They each showcase Don Winslow at his best. He's in kind of intense action. He's kind of political side as well. There's one that's really funny. And then for the big fans, the last story actually brings back a lot of his old characters from a couple of his other books, merges them together in a story. And just
you'll still
gets
get
lost.
It if you haven't read his other ones,
yes,
though?
And then you might even start discovering his other ones, which are great. Right. So, I mean, as I said, he's one of my favourite crime writers, and this is just a perfect showcase and the perfect book for the beach.
These sound good for when if it's hard to concentrate at the beginning of the holidays, because it's been such a weird year. I think our brains might take a while to really set after what we've had. The booksellers are in. We'll put it all up at the end on our webpage. Do not worry. Okay, what about a lively read for a not too keen on teenage boy? Again, speaking my language here, I do not have a big reader in my household. David, what are you suggesting?
Yeah, again, it's always the most difficult thing to think of. I think every bookseller would acknowledge when in comes.
That's when you take a deep breath when someone asks you this question. What am I going to do? Yeah.
So in this case, I've chosen a book called The Boy Who Steals Houses by C.G. Drews, D-R-E-W-S, an author of whom I know absolutely nothing except she's young and Australian. This book was actually published last year but won the Honor Award at the CBC. Children's Book Awards this year, so I gave it a go and was very impressed. So the boy who steals houses is a 15-year-old called Sammy Lou, and he steals them because he occupies them when they're empty. His family background is non-existent, as in the family isn't there. Mother's gone, father is abusive. Dreadful, dreadful scenario. But the fact is, because he has to live by his wits and do things, not just because he's got no one else to rely on, but because he's also looking after his older brother, Avery, who's autistic. So he's got a big load on his shoulders, and he's got aunts who are, almost seem to be worse than the parents who have abandoned him. So it's a tough life, but it's a credibly put together story about that life, because the originality in saying, well, what he does is he actually breaks into houses and says, as long as we know when someone's coming back because they're on holidays or whatever, then we'll manage until we get our own place. That's always going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
And that, and he manages because they break into a house, the Delaneys are a big chaotic family, and they assume when he's there that he must know one of them. Oh, I thought you were a friend of my... whatever. And again, that sounds slightly incredible. That's where the romance comes in, young Moxie.
It's got a lot of but not lovely, too icky for a teenage boy. Icky in the romance.
No, not at all. It's tough stuff.
All right, Lindy Jones, teenage boy. It doesn't read much.
I've gone for a dip in and dip out book called Whatever Happened to Ned Kelly's Head by Eamon Evans.
Sounds good.
Yep, it's Australian mysteries, about 50 of them. They're all presented for entertainment, rather irreverently done. They're easy to read. There's about four pages for each of them, so the young lad's attention span, doesn't get too overtaxed. It has murders, it has strange people, it has events, it has phenomena, it has weird places, and yes, you do find out. Well, actually, no, you don't find out.
Well,
what
I'm not sure we've really decided about Ned Kelly's head, have we?
Exactly, and that's the love of this. That's what this book is very good at doing. It's going, look, this happened, and people think this, and somebody else has this theory, and I think, but I don't know. So it's up to you.
Okay,
it's
and then you can say, I'm not serving you dinner till you've read one of those stories.
Exactly.
Right?
Only four pages.
You can do it. Sounds good. Whatever Happened to Ned Kelly's Head by Eamon Evans. John Page, what are you suggesting? Oh, a sequel to Ready Player One.
Yes, Ready Player Two by Ernest Cline. So this is the book that brings out the inner 17-year-old boy in me.
still in there.
It's still So it's written at breakneck speed. It's packed full of every cool movie, video game, music soundtrack you can think of. It's all merged together in this science fiction book. This is the sequel, which literally takes place 2 days after the first one. If you've only seen the movie, read the first book because the book's even better. The movie goes hampered by licensing agreements, whereas the two books are great because he doesn't have to pay licenses to any film studio to include any film or video game in his novel, and he literally includes everything he possibly can. It's another kind of a roller coaster ride where the future's at stake, and the main character Wade Watts has to find all the Easter eggs and solve the mystery and save the world once again. And it's just a really fun
read. You don't
read.
Mean Easter eggs, you mean?
Well, not chocolate Easter eggs.
Yeah, exactly. All right. If you're a 17-year-old boy, you'll get it. But otherwise, it's not the book for you, maybe. All right. We're doing the books of the year. It's 5 minutes to five, so I want to jump ahead perhaps because who doesn't, you know, the uncle who doesn't thinks fiction's a waste of time. Maybe, I don't know, that's a hard ask for you. But I know a lot of people want kids' books, right, because we love to give a kid, you know, if you've got a niece or a nephew, you love to hand out a young kid's book at Christmas. David Gaunt, what are you suggesting for people?
If You Come to Earth by Sophie Blackall, which is a beautiful, beautiful book. I wish I could hold it up to the microphone. Sophie's Australian-born, I think New York living now, an award-winning writer. And this is this book starts by saying, if you were coming from outer space, what would you find? And so what you find is an entire world of possibilities. The books internally remind me a little bit of the Alan and Alberg, the husband and wife team who wrote those beautiful books for babies, babies catalogues and things like that, because on every page you have a huge amount of information, a huge amount of visual information and beautifully interspersed bits of text. It's been beautifully designed, beautifully put together. And for a 5 to 8 year old who has any kind of interest or who wants to get interest in the world, it's beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's where you pull them into books too when you get them young. Lindy, what have you got?
I've got Clock of Stars by Francesca Gibbons. It's a mid-primary novel. Follows 11-year-old Imogen and her 7-year-old sister. Imogen follows a very pretty moth through a vacant lot, into a tree, down some stairs, then realises that her very annoying sister has followed her and closed the door behind, and they can't get out. So they have to keep going down through
another world.
into another world that's full of monsters, beset princes, conniving beautiful women who have their eye on the throne, witches, flying creatures, hunters.
This sounds
it takes
excellent.
All the tropes yep. and it actually makes something fresh
I want to
and
read
compelling
it.
About
okay,
it.
Okay, so that's for mid-primary you recommend, yeah? Clock yep. of Stars. John Page?
I've got Never and Forever by Cressida Cowell, which is the fourth book in the Wizards of Once series, which is perfect for 8 to 12-year-olds, boys and girls. Main character Wish is a warrior princess, and she's teamed up with Zar, the son of the Wizard King, and in this last book they must race against time to gather the ingredients to make a spell strong enough to lift the curse of the Wild Woods and defeat the King Witch. I love this series. This is a book that kids can read themselves. It's highly illustrated, but it's also great for family reading together
as well.
It's
good to still have the pictures when they're reading themselves. Keeps them going. All right, let's finish on the single book this year that had the most impact upon you. David Gaunt from Glee Books. What struck you this year?
It was too easy because of COVID and the timing of publication, The Mirror and the Light, Hilary Mantel's third book in the Wolf Hall trilogy. Mm. This is the best I've read. Thousands of books in my life. I've never read better historical writing than she has done.
Yeah,
simple.
Really? That's it. Yes, so many were so eagerly awaiting that and not disappointed.
Oh, no.
Right. Okay. Lindy, what's your favourite of the year?
May Flies by Andrew O'Hagan. It's joyous, it's heartrending, it's funny, it's compassionate, it's intensely moving. It's about male friendship in a society that places great weight on mateship, but nothing at all on male emotions. It's a friendship story, first set in Thatcherite Britain in working class Glasgow, and then moving forward 30 odd years after a particular weekend, which has set the young boys on to their life.
Gosh, I'm not coming back after summer. I've got to read all these books. John Page?
I've got Honey Bee by Craig Silvey. This book made the hairs on the back of my neck stick up as I read it. It's just exhilarating. It's profound. It's the reason I read books. Craig Silvey's written another Australian classic. This is a book that's going to open people's minds. It's a book that's going to be devoured and adored for decades, and it really does confirm the immense talent that Craig Silvey has as a writer. He wrote Jasper Jones 12 years ago, and this is the perfect follow-up.
Was Jasper Jones 12 years ago? Was it that long ago?
Was that long ago?
Long time between drinks.
Yes, look, I've just been away for the weekend with some girlfriends and one of them was reading that, so I'm in the queue. All right, terrific. We will put this book list up on our website. Don't worry, people are texting in already. Some incredible suggestions, and you need a hammock or you need a very comfortable chair to get through so many of these, and all the best with your gift giving and your books. And thank you so much for coming in today. Great recommendations. John Page from Dimmicks, Lindy Jones from Abbey's, and David Gaunt from Glee Books doing our special segment of the year that Richard always does, and it always helps me compile my Christmas list.